No blood for oil. Those words are chanted by demonstrators opposed to a U.S.-led war against Iraq. They say the Bush administration is partly motivated by a desire to take control of Iraq's huge oil reserves, the second largest in the world. The Bush administration says that's nonsense, that its goal is to destroy Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, remove Saddam Hussein, and introduce democracy to Iraq. NPR's John Idstey reports that it's impossible to ignore the importance of oil when conflict erupts in the Persian Gulf.
In 1991, the U.S. and its allies went to war in the Persian Gulf to eject Saddam Hussein from Kuwait and prevent him from controlling the region's oil. Ralph Nader, an opponent of military action in Iraq, and Secretary of State Colin Powell have very different views about the importance of oil this time around.
Of the many factors that are propelling Bush toward war in Iraq, to exclude oil is to exclude the lessons of history and our longtime national interest in controlling Middle East oil.
This canard that's constantly being tossed out that all we want is their oil. The oil of Iraq belongs to the people of Iraq. And we will help the people of Iraq use that oil for their benefit and not to threaten their neighbors.
Phyllis Bennis of the Institute for Policy Studies is another opponent of military action. She, like many other critics of the administration, acknowledges that if President Bush leads the nation into war with Iraq, it won't be just about oil.
But clearly, if the main product of the Persian Gulf were broccoli and not oil, we would not be where we are today, vis-a-vis Iraq, vis-a-vis Saudi Arabia, vis-a-vis the whole region. So I think it's either naive or disingenuous to begin with the notion that somehow this has nothing to do with oil. Oil shapes everything about the politics and the economy and the military realities of that entire region.
But the effect of petroleum on the president's policy goes beyond the American thirst for and dependence on Middle Eastern oil, says Ralph Nader. He argues the Bush administration's approach to Saddam Hussein has been shaped by its connections to the oil industry.
The Bush administration is marinated in oil. 41 of the top administration officials were on boards of directors, including Condoleezza Rice. Of course, Cheney was head of Halliburton. George Bush came out of Harkin Energy. There's enormous ties.
And part of what's fueling the drive for military action, argues Nader, is the oil industry's desire to get at Iraq's huge oil reserves.
There's a competition between U.S. oil companies and French oil companies, Russian oil companies. And if the U.S. invades and controls Iraq, clearly the U.S. oil companies will have the first bid in terms of production, distribution, and, of course, profits.
To back up his argument, Nader cites a January 16th item in the Wall Street Journal. It quotes oil industry sources who say that Bush administration officials met with U.S. oil companies in October about jump-starting the Iraqi oil industry after a war. Among those companies, according to the Journal, was Halliburton, the oil services firm headed by Mr. Cheney before he was elected. A Deutsche Bank report cited in the same article predicts Halliburton would be among those winning the biggest contracts in a post-Saddam Iraq. Administration and company officials say the meeting never took place. Ed Morse of Hess Energy Trading and the Council on Foreign Relations says those who see an oil grab in U.S. policy don't understand how the oil market really works.
They argue frequently that this is an effort to get cheap oil in the hands of ExxonMobil and Chevron Texaco, as though we live in a world in which a foreign government can impose on a sovereign oil-producing country the rules of ownership. And we're not in that kind of world at all.
Larry Goldstein, president of the Petroleum Industry Research Foundation, an industry-funded think tank, says the arguments of those who believe the U.S. would go to war with the aim of controlling Iraqi oil are undercut by what happened after the first Persian Gulf War.
When we won the war decisively, the battle wasn't on who was going to control and own those resources. It was to make sure that oil flowed in a competitive market environment. And when the objective of getting Iraq out of Kuwait was completed, the U.S. backed away and the oil industry in Iraq was free under the U.N. sanctions and controls to work again. There was no attempt to confiscate oil in 1990 when we clearly won or had already won a major victory. So I would say the burden of proof of those who suggest otherwise now is really the other way.
Secretary of State Powell has said the oil of Iraq will be held in trust for the people of Iraq in the interim period after Saddam Hussein is ousted, but it's not clear exactly who will administer the oil resources. Larry Goldstein acknowledges that big U.S. firms are eager to get access to Iraqi oil fields, but that's not surprising, he says.
In order to survive, big companies have to replenish their inventories. So why wouldn't they be excited at a prospect that they know has almost no resource risk and a place that they've been excluded from? It would be silly for the part of any company, French, British, Russian, Chinese, or Americans, to not want to have an opportunity to bid for that acreage.
However, in a post-war environment, Goldstein says, it would be in Iraq's interest to tap the expertise of U.S. companies. Goldstein points out that Russian companies have signed contracts with Iraq to develop Iraqi oil fields, and French companies have had extensive discussion with the Iraqis about deals that might be signed once U.N. sanctions are lifted. Saddam Hussein's regime has refused to talk with American companies. That leads the Petroleum Foundation's Goldstein to ask this question.
Why aren't we suspicious of the French and the Russians in this game? The French probably have 25% of almost all the new development that will take place in Iraq. It just doesn't make any sense to me to hear the kind of one-sided accusations.
Goldstein suggests that the French and Russian roles in the current crisis, which have frustrated the White House, are tainted by their oil interests. On the other hand, he adamantly rejects the charge by anti-war groups that U.S. oil interests are affecting the decisions of the Bush administration. There's little question Iraq needs the assistance of foreign oil firms. Although Iraq's national oil company is viewed as quite capable by the international oil industry, the country's production capacity has deteriorated from about 4 million barrels a day to just under 3 million in the past decade, and only 15 of Iraq's 73 known oil fields have been developed. Still, if the national oil company maintains control of Iraq's oil resource, it's likely to drive a hard bargain with multinational firms, much as governments in Iran, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia have in recent years. That means while the contracts may be in the billions of dollars, the profit margins for the big oil companies could be modest. John Idstey, NPR News, Washington.